podcast in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One. It's 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the Punt podcast. Good to have you with us ahead of the third round of the FA Cup, and we'll be going through the televised games involving those Premier League teams with Derek McGovern and Andy Excel shortly. And we've also got bets coming up from Pete Farries, Gav Puslowski, Al Ross and John Gibby. But first, it's a delight to have the man that organises, very kindly organises a guest for us every single week on this podcast. Paul McCarthy joins us here live on the line, and live on the line from his balcony overlooking Milan in Italy. Paul, good to have you with us.
Or as Harry Harris once wrote in the Daily Mirror, here from my hotel room overlooking Mount Everest.
Good to have you on the podcast, Paul.
Good to be here, mate. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Happy New Year as well. I know it's a bit belated, but Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you. How are you?
Yeah, very well, very well. Just managed to nick a couple of days out in Italy with the wife for New Year's. Heading back later. So yeah, great time, and but managed to keep up to date, obviously, with all the football results and all the shenanigans and dives and. Bad refereeing calls, and which seem to be absolutely grist to the mill for my colleagues in the papers and in the media every day.
And from a slightly less glamorous location, Derek McGovern joins us on the podcast as well. Good morning to you, Del.
Good morning, chaps. How's it all going?
It's going very well. Have you managed to keep abreast of the latest diving situations, Derek,
yes,
in the last few days?
Yes, I have. Yes, yeah. I'm in front of my telly. I've been waving imaginary equity cards by the minute.
We got the FA Cup coming up this weekend, start of the FA Cup proper, I suppose you could say, with the Premier League teams entering the competition in the third round. And what everyone wants to know at this point of the competition is which team is going to win it. And here at William Hill, Manchester City are the 7-2 favourites to win the competition. Chelsea are 6-1. Manchester United 6-1 as well. Spurs are 8-1. Arsenal 9-1. Liverpool 10-1. Leicester are 20-1. Southampton 28s, and it's 33's bar. I suppose, Paul, with five teams making the Champions League knockout stages, it might make it more difficult than usual to predict which team is going to take the competition seriously and go on and eventually prevail at Wembley. Yeah. And Arsenal have won it three times in the last 4 years. That doesn't appease their fans, though. Arsenal will be on, I think, a few people's minds at 9-1.
Yeah, I think Arsenal are always a good bet because Wenger does tend to take, he doesn't take the League Cup seriously, obviously, but he does tend to take this one seriously. Especially, he's got, they've got European ambitions themselves, but they're never going to challenge for the league title. I think that, I honestly think that if he is going to go into next season with anything like an element of support from the Arsenal fans, I think he's got to win either the Europa League or the FA Cup this year. I really think that he actually needs a trophy. If they're not going to win the title, then he needs a trophy to appease those who come the summer and go, look, we're even further off the top spot and away from the Champions League places as we were this season, last season, the season before. It's that kind of predictability. The Piers Morgan effect, I call it.
And Pep Guardiola has already said that Manchester City winning four trophies is completely out of the reckoning. City are still 7-2 favourites, and understandably as well, Paul, given their start to the season.
Yeah.
You can't even call it a start to the season, given the way they've performed in the league so far.
Yeah, I think they've been outstanding. I think if you ask Guardiola, this going into the second half of this season, the FA Cup would be a long way down his list of priorities. I suspect that they could wrap up the league March, April time if it continues the way that they've performed in the first half of the season. Mm. My feeling is, I have to say, for Liverpool, I really think that Klopp will go for this, because if they go for it, then they are as exciting an attacking force that I've seen at Liverpool for 2 or 3 years. And I don't think, you know, the game against Everton, I cannot believe that Sam Allardyce will treat the FA Cup in any way, shape or form as seriously as he would Everton's league position. They lost a couple of games back-to-back over Christmas. I think this is an opportunity for Klopp and Liverpool to set down a marker in the FA Cup this year.
10-1 Liverpool to win the FA Cup. And Derek, I must admit, Liverpool stood out to me at 10-1 as well. We'll talk about the Merseyside derby later on in the podcast, Liverpool taking on Everton on Friday night. But Liverpool, Jurgen Klopp needs a trophy, I think, at Liverpool this season.
Yeah, he does. Been there a couple, 2 or 3 years now without getting one. But I can tell you right now, the big winner on Cup Final Day, Meghan Markle. Nailed on, isn't it? You know what? I keep looking at it. Get to the FA Cup in the third round, you're thinking, oh, great. You know, like you're looking at all these, you know, a team to do a Wimbledon or a Coventry or whatever. But in the last 22 years, Wigan and Portsmouth, the only non-Big Six teams who have won the FA Cup. That's quite incredible, isn't it, really? You know, I mean, they weren't in the Big Six. They weren't even in the Big 60, by the way, Wigan and Portsmouth, those years. Good luck if you pick those. I can't look at the top five, you know, because of the Champions League. Every year they're treating the FA Cup with even less significance. And I know Liverpool are fantastic going forward, but I just don't see Klopp giving it any... I can see Klopp treating it with contempt, to be honest. And so I can't go for Liverpool. I can't go for any of the top five for the Champions League reason. I can't go for Arsenal because they're not good enough anymore. And winning the FA Cup has kept Wenger in the job over the last 4 years. But, even when he wins that, he's still under severe pressure. Still in the Europa League too. So I'm not going for Arsenal. What I used to do before I lost all my money was look for a team who were around about 7th or 8th. Weren't going to challenge for the title or Europe. Weren't going to go down. And had a winnable third round tie. Now, Leicester come into that category. They're away at Fleetwood. But they're only 20-1. I'm disappointed in those odds. I expected more. Now, Watford are 40-1, double the price of Leicester. I don't think there's that much to choose between Leicester and Watford. I know Watford are on a terrible run, but they're still in 10th place. They shouldn't be bothered by going down. I know they're on a terrible run, but they're a good team. There's a number of worse teams than Watford in the Premier League right now. And I think they're going to give you a good run for your money. They're at home to Bristol City, which is not the easiest task, but they're at home in the third round. That's all you can ask for a Premier League club. And 40-1, I think it'll give you a good run for your money, that one.
Okay, a couple of picks then for the FA Cup outright. Liverpool at 10-1 for Paul, and Derek going with Watford at 40-1. Now, we're recording this podcast on the 4th of January. People around the globe are making or have made their New Year's resolutions. I want your New Year's wishes for football, be it personal or for the good of the game. So a couple each from you. Paul, we'll start with you. Football wishes for the calendar year.
My wish would be that managers were completely banned from talking about referees afterwards. It's now become that most boring, cynical, stereotypical reaction to any kind of defeat. And fans can see through it. Fans, okay, they'll have their opinions. But managers have got to stand up and take an element of responsibility. And I also kind of combined with this, I want managers to start being honest about their players who are diving, because they're going to get suspended. And I've still not seen any manager come out and have a go at any of his players for being suspended for diving. And they're kind of, those two things, I guess, are tied together. But it's got to the stage now where we're not talking about football anymore. We're talking about decisions that referees have made. Martin Ziegler in the Times this morning has written a piece where it looks like VAR will come in to the Premier League next season, and more than likely to be in the World Cup in the summer. The sooner that comes in and puts an end to these pathetic, he said, she said, paranoia, conspiracy-driven rants by managers post-match, the better.
Paul, just a quick word on VAR technology. You sometimes get a situation where the referee's made a decision and you can go to the studio and the pundits will debate that decision and they'll come up with a different view. Isn't it still subjective, VAR?
But the thing is that the people you put into the who are there in the box, just like cricket, it's their decision. The referee has only one take on it. If you're empowering those people to make that decision and to assist and aid the referee, then I'm afraid that's it. You know, it's exactly that. If they make the decision stands. Yes, you can debate it, but the referee is getting some assistance and he's actually getting to see the view that, you know, Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher and the rest all have in the television studio. But instantly after the incident, not having to wait 45 minutes to be torn apart by first people in the studio and then by managers afterwards.
Derek, what about you?
What mean you are your wishes? Any player defending a corner who shouts away when the ball is flighted over, be banned for life. The turning Premier League into the Sunday League, what possesses them to say it? Do they think their teammates, it never occurred to them that they need to clear the ball? And it's always the worst player in the team who shouts it, like it is in the Sunday League as well. It does mind nothing. That's number one. Number two, any referee who awards a penalty when the ball is just booted against the arm of a defender should be lined up and shot. It's ruining the game. Commentators are doing the same thing. Well, it hits his hand. Well, so what? Ball to hand? It's so easy to get a penalty nowadays. So easy. Just go upfield, welly the ball against the defender's arm, and you're getting a goal, basically. You're getting a goal for that. And I think it's encouraging, as I said on the podcast, it's encouraging teams to camp out, park the bus for 89 minutes, and then, you know, take pot luck in a minute from
where where do you stand on on this habit now that's come in over the last few years of defenders with their arms clasped behind their back?
Well, you can't do that. You can't play football like that. To go back to the good old days, ball to hands. What's wrong with that?
Absolutely, mate. I couldn't agree more.
I call that the Gary Cahill. He's the largest exponent
David
of that.
And David Luiz.
David Luiz, yeah.
Coached by, and now you look at Manchester United players are doing it all the time. So it's obviously a thing that Mourinho coaches into his defenders.
Now at William Hill, you can get your bet onto the website for featured matches. If there's a bet you fancy that's not on the app, just tweet with the hashtag #YourOdds to @WilliamHill and the traders will try to price it up. Hashtag your odds from William Hill.
Thank you then to Paul McCarthy, our FWA guest this week. And now it's a delight to welcome William Hill's Andy Excel onto the podcast. Joins myself and Derek to look at the TV games involving the Premier League teams in the FA Cup third round. Good morning to you, Andy.
Good morning. Happy New Year to all.
How are you? You well?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Good, let's get stuck in then, because we've got six games to go through, and then we've got the naps to get as well. Liverpool versus Everton, the big third-round tie, is Friday 7:55, this one. Liverpool 2-5 to win it, the draw 19-5 with Everton in the betting at 6-1. The enhanced odds, Roberto Firmino to score and Liverpool to win, was 7-5, that's been enhanced to 6-4. Umar Nias to score and Everton to win was 11-1, that's now 14-1. Derek, when you think about analysing these Premier League sides and you're looking at the betting and you're thinking, are they going to put out a strong side or not? Surely, given this is a Merseyside derby, it would be unimaginable to think that Liverpool and Everton aren't going to attack this with their strongest lineups, wouldn't it?
Well, look at Everton. They've lost, not only that, they've lost their last two games as well. So Evertonians won't accept Sam Allardyce naming a weakened team. But in his defence, what choice does he have? not much of a choice there, could they? So the Everton fans have been telling me all week that they're beginning to dream of Wembley, Dave. But I didn't have the heart to tell them that's because they're playing Spurs there next week. I mean, they were shocking in the Merseyside derby. And the draw they stole because of that Calvin Lewitt penalty, the worst decision since taking Theo Walcott to the World Cup in 2006, or England to the World Cup any year. Well, it was absolute daylight robbery. They were outclassed. They've lost two games badly recently. I can only see a convincing Liverpool victory. But there is a proviso. Does Jurgen Klopp play his best team? I mean, you know, some managers will field their strongest team for an FA Cup tie, but there are others, and I think Klopp's one of them, who look at the competition the way Allardyce would look at a short pass. They don't. You know, it's just not. They're not comfortable with it. So I'm a bit worried. If it was a league game and Liverpool were 2-5, I'd be putting everything I could afford and probably more on it. But there is that proviso. I think they'll win because there's a big gulf in class between these two sides. But I've got a slight reservation because of that. Years ago, and you know, even when Liverpool were in all kinds and Edmonton weren't, I wouldn't have touched Liverpool at 2-5 in a derby match because, you know, Merseyside derbies, you just couldn't predict them. But you can now. Liverpool murder Everton every time they play, and only ridiculous refereeing decisions prevent them from winning. So 2-5 should be the best of all time. But one or two niggling reservations.
I'm sure he's going to put out his strongest side, given that it's against their Merseyside rival. Surely Klopp is going to go for this one. They've got a great record recently against Everton as well. Unbeaten against the Toffees in all competitions in their last 15 games now at Liverpool. And I thought Everton were very disappointing against Manchester United. Clearly a team, Andy, that need a striker. Calvert-Lewin has shown a little bit of promise. He hasn't got that star quality. And Umar Nias works hard, but he lacks a touch of class as well. Liverpool 2-5 to win this one, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I just back up everything Derek said, really. Half of this is trying to stick to what the lineups are going to be, and I'm not convinced that Klopp will play a full-strength team. You've got them looking at, can they finish in the top four? That's their priority over the FA Cup. But you can't trust Everton either. Like you say, a lot of blame's getting laid at the strikers' doors, but they're just not creating chances either. So, you know, they're unlikely to score more than one, and Liverpool probably are likely to score more than one, even whatever team they put out. So 2-5 Liverpool looks all right. If I was trying to dig a bet out of this, I still think Everton might keep it reasonably close. So +2 at 7-10 looks all right to me.
OK, Liverpool to win and over 2.5 goals in the game, even money, which looks good as well. For Liverpool to win and the game to have 3 or more goals. Let's move on to Fleetwood versus Leicester, which is a 12:45 kickoff. This one's live on William Hill TV as well. And Fleetwood are 4-1 to win this game. The draw 11-4 with Leicester in the betting at 6-10. Enhanced odds, Devante Cole to score and Fleetwood to win was 13-2. That's now 7-1. And Kelechi Iheanacho to score and Leicester to win. That was 13-8. That has been enhanced 2-1. A very good performance from Leicester at the weekend. They beat Huddersfield 3-0. And you'd think that this is a competition Claude Puel would target with them 8th in the league. They don't have much chance of getting into the top 6 this season. The nagging doubt is that he will treat the FA Cup with contempt because he put out a weak side at home against City in the quarter-final of the Carabao Cup. I know this is a competition with a much richer history than that one, but that's just in the back of my mind here, Andy, because he had an opportunity to go out and win silverware with Leicester in the Carabao Cup and decided against it.
Yeah, I mean, you always have to worry about the selection of Premier League teams here, but Leicester should be one of the teams that should go for it. Whether they do or not is a different matter, but even their reserve should be good enough to beat Fleetwood. The guys that TV people have picked here, it's basically picking teams at home that aren't in great form. Fleetwood have got one win in the last 6 at home, so they're not hardly in great form. I know it's the magic of the FA Cup, as I say, but the only magic in the FA Cup these days is the little teams disappear quickly. So, you know, I noticed Vardy didn't play the other night either, and obviously he's going back to Fleetwood, so I think he'll play, and I think Leicester will win, and he'll probably score as well.
Yeah, he's a good one for a goal scorer bet, no doubt. Jamie Vardy is even money to score any time. He's 100-30 to score first, 100-30 to score last, and 9-2 to get 2 or more in the game. Derek, Fleetwood are 12th in League One, and Uwe Rosler has a tendency to set up his team very defensively. They've had mixed results this season. Disappointing result against Bradford at the weekend, losing 2-1, having taken the lead. And they've never gone beyond the third round of the FA Cup either, Fleetwood.
No, no. And it's you know, it's clear that they're not comfortable playing at home. And if you've been to Fleetwood, you'd understand why. I can't have them. Leicester, I've got to treat this seriously. What you mentioned about Puel, again, the team he fielded against City in the League Cup, yeah, that is a little bit of a worry, you know. But it could well be that, come on, we're playing City. You know, we play our strongest team. We're not going to win that one. Is it more, I think possibly even just as significant is that he did so well in the League Cup when he was with Southampton, you know. So if he treated that one seriously, you know, there's a good chance he'll concentrate on the FA Cup. And if he doesn't, he'll want shooting, given that, you know, the attention of the Big Six should be elsewhere this season, or the top five are already right or through to the group stage of the Champions League. This is almost an open goal for Leicester, this. And if I was a Leicester fan, I would seriously be dreaming of Wembley this season. I think they've got a real chance of going far. And this is a great tie for them. I mean, they haven't got a great record in the FA Cup, funny enough. I just read somewhere that the last time they made the semi-final was 1982, when they lost 2-0 to Tottenham at Villa Park, and that was the weekend war was declared with Argentina over the Falklands. That's how long ago that was. They made a run in the FA Cup, but it's wide open for them this year. 20-1 to win it outright, which I thought was a little bit tight, but it wouldn't put anybody off taking that, and they'll win this comfortably. Jamie Vardy to score any time. Did you say even money?
Yeah.
I'm all over that.
I like Leicester to win and over 2.5 goals in the game as well. That's available at 13-10 here with William Hill. Norwich versus Chelsea next up, 5:30 kickoff this one. And Norwich are 6-1 to win the game. The draw 100-30. With Chelsea odds on, as you would expect, long odds on as well at 2-5. Cameron Jerome to score and Norwich to win was 10-1. That's been enhanced to 12-1. And if you fancy Mishy Batshuayi to score and Chelsea to win, that was 11-10. That has been enhanced to 6-5. David, we talked off air about the game against Arsenal. That was on Wednesday night. That was a cracking game of football, maybe the best in the Premier League this season. And if Alvaro Morata had worn his football boots instead of his diving ones, they might have won that game, Chelsea. They last won the FA Cup back in 2009-2010. And I suppose, given what we've said about teams in the Champions League, Antonio Conte might not focus on the FA Cup this season.
No, he won't. Definitely not. 6-1 Norwich. They're not playing well, Norwich. But I watched Chelsea, you know, against Arsenal, and it was a fantastic game. Absolute thriller. But Chelsea were so poor. They were really poor. Morata looked like a Sunday league striker. Hazard was the most ineffective I've ever seen him. The midfield was workmanlike, and the defence was a joke. I think Chelsea are in a bit of trouble right now, you know.
Do you think so?
Yeah. There's something. I got the vibes earlier in the season. I was made to look a chump, not for the first time. But I couldn't believe how poor they were against Arsenal.
I thought. I'm very surprised you say that. I thought Hazard was good, Derek.
No, and one of the commentators said as well. Hazard is my favourite player. He's an unbelievable player, and he barely puts a foot wrong. But I thought he was really ineffective last night. I really did. Norwich is 6-1. You know what? I'm going to go for them. I mean, if they win this, the locals will never stop high-sixing each other. and 6-1 looks a good bet to me. I know they're not in great form, but they're not going down anywhere, are they, in the Championship? This is their cup final, if you like. And they're playing a Chelsea team who, in my eyes, are off form. And secondly, I don't think they'll give two hoots about this. I think some of the players, I think there'll probably be about four players in that Chelsea team at the weekend that we don't even recognise. So I'm going to go for Norwich here at 6-1. I think it's given us a chance, that one.
One stat that I really like ahead of this game is surrounding Mishy Batshuayi, who I mentioned in that enhanced odds offer, hasn't exactly been in favour with Antonio Conte this season. He's only started two Premier League games, and Conte has told both him and David Luiz that they can go if they wish, but Batshuayi might get the nod in this game. And in domestic cup competitions for Chelsea against non-Premier League opponents, he's got 7 in 4. Batshuayi, so that enhancement for him to score and Chelsea to win could look good on the William Hill website at 6-5. Andy, how do you view this?
Oh, I think you are going to see a shadow Chelsea team. It's been a busy period over Christmas and New Year, and a lot of the Premier League teams are going to rest. And I think Chelsea will be one of those. However, again, Norwich aren't in terrific form. The last 10 at home, I think it's 2 wins, 5 draws and 3 losses. But the 5 draws catches my eye. So I think, you know, they might just squeak a draw out here against an understrength Chelsea team. Chelsea will probably take them back and beat them, but I think they might squeak a draw here.
Las Palmas welcome Eibar to the Canary Islands on Saturday for an early evening clash in La Liga and find themselves up against the form side in the division, with Eibar having won 4 of their last 5 matches in La Liga. That literally puts them at the top of the recent form table. Not many of those have been up against the league's very biggest names, but looking at the sides Las Palmas have been losing out to recently, as well as their home form, which doesn't compare too favourably with their away form, the visitors should be capable of picking up another 3 points and making it 6 wins from their last 7 league matches. 9-5 therefore looks a fairly generous price outright, but if you want to boost it further, still feeling a little bit greedy, why not take Eibar at -1 on the handicap? The 9-2 could represent fantastic value, especially when you consider that in those 5 recent league victories, they've won by over a goal on 3 occasions, and one of those exceptions was when they played Valencia, who they still managed to beat by 2-1. So I'm backing Eibar to make a winning start to the new year, and -1 on the handicap at 9-2 is the bet.
On to Sunday then. Shrewsbury versus West Ham is first up. This is a 2 p.m. kickoff. Shrewsbury 11-4 to win the game. The draw is 23-10 with West Ham at 10-11. Carlton Morris to score and Shrewsbury to win was 11-2. That's been enhanced to 6-1. And Diafra Sakho to score and West Ham to win was 5-2. That's been enhanced to 11-4. This could be an interesting one. I can understand why the TV people have picked this one, because Shrewsbury are going really well in League One, stout defensively, and are unbeaten since late November. Only a couple of points behind Wigan in the league. They've been sensational this season, Wigan. And West Ham are surely not going to play a strong side in this game, Andy, given they've got Huddersfield away in the league next. And we're recording this before their game's Thursday night against Spurs as well, so there's a quick turnaround for West Ham here.
Yeah, I think we've just missed one word off the team name. West Ham, it should be reserves, because that's what you're going to be seeing. And Shrewsbury, like you say, unbeaten in 8, won their last 4 at home. We are ducking them, and I think we're right to, because I think they've got every chance of winning this game. I think West Ham would quite happily, and Moyes would quite happily, duck out of the FA Cup just to concentrate on getting things right in the league. They've been getting better results. No doubt we'll start hearing about Andy Carroll for England within about the next 5 minutes.
Well, like Jack Wilshere for England. Oh, God, turn it in.
Keep watching. I think he scored last night, didn't he? I think he's playing all right myself. You know, I don't think you'll be seeing a lot of the West Ham names here. And that when I say the West Ham names, they're not particularly good names, but the reserves are even worse. So I think Shrewsbury have got every chance of winning this game. This might be the shock.
Andy Carroll, by the way, was absolutely abysmal in the first half of that game. I'm surprised Moyes persisted with him, but he did get 2 huge goals for West Ham. Came from 1-0 down at half time to win that game against West Brom by 2-1. This game, by the way, is Shrewsbury's first FA Cup third round tie against Premier League opposition since January 2003. And what did they do back in 2003? They beat Everton at Gay Meadow, who were then managed by David Moyes. So it's possibly written that West Ham will go to Shrewsbury and be knocked out of the FA Cup on Sunday afternoon, Derek.
Yeah, I think Moyes played for Shrewsbury as well, didn't he, for the time
of
his career? Yeah, I think he did. I mean, Moyes in the FA Cup, anyway, he took Everton to the final in 2009, I think it was. But other than that season, the ginger nut has shied away from it like it was sunshine. It just doesn't do the FA Cup. West Ham, still in the relegation fight, as we've said. They played on Tuesday, they're playing on Thursday, and they're playing on Sunday. I mean, that's inhuman, isn't it, really? And David Moyes has actually come out. He's made no bones about the fact he's going to be playing a shadow side. I've been reading some of the comments, and one thing he pointed out was that if they get through this round, before the fourth round, the next round, they play Crystal Palace before it and Brighton after it. You know, 2 massive games for them. So he doesn't want to be in the FA Cup. He'd rather have the time off.
I think Shrewsbury 11-4, especially given their home record, they're unbelievable at home. 1-10, drawn 1 out of 12 games at home. I think you're ducking them, Andy, but you're not ducking them enough. 11-4 is still massive.
Nottingham Forest versus Arsenal next, 4 p.m. This one. Forest are 5-1 to win the game. The draw 100-30 with Arsenal 4-9. Kieran Dowell to score and Nottingham Forest to win was 17-2, enhanced to 10-1, and Chuba Akpom to score and Arsenal to win was 13-10. That's been enhanced to 11-8. We know, Derek. We mentioned it on the piece with Paul. Arsene Wenger loves this competition. He's won it 3 of the last 4 years. But I think his contempt for the Premier League referees is threatening to overshadow everything else at the moment. He keeps complaining about the referees. He's becoming the Premier League's number one conspiracy theorist at the moment, Arsene Wenger.
Yeah, he is. He's taken over from Mourinho in that, isn't he? You know, everybody's against us. The paranoia is setting in, and it generally does for a manager who's, you know, who knows he's on borrowed time, as Wenger surely has. It is. And he wouldn't be in a job now were it not for this FA Cup, which he's won 3 times in the last 4 years. I have to say, I do feel a little bit of sympathy for him, given that he's got getting hot under the collar over that the penalty decision at West Brom, which is never a penalty in a million years, and ditto the penalty decision against Chelsea the other night, never a penalty in a million years. I'd be upset too.
On the other side of the coin, though, there, Derek, Jack Wilshere scored Arsenal's opening goal, and that was clearly a dive, and he should have been in the book for a second time and sent off.
Yeah, true. But I never get too worked up over that. You know, he shouldn't have been on the pitch. A match is 11 against 11, and you can't moan if it still finishes up 11 against 11. You still got to beat that team. So I never get worked up over that. I watched Arsenal against Chelsea, and we've said, Dave, it was a tremendous game. One of the reasons it was a tremendous game is that Arsenal's back three, is it? It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. And they're so easy to score against. But are Forest going to score against them? They've lost their manager because they've been hopeless this season. They've got a caretaker boss. Drew 0-0 with Leeds on New Year's Day, and apparently that was an upturn in performances. But I think they've got troubles of their own in the Championship. And it's come to the stage of the FA Cup when teams like Forest in the Championship are not giving it full priority. I might be wrong, but I can't see him doing that. 4-9 Arsenal, I hate to say it, but I can't think of any other bet here.
Yeah, I agree, actually. 4-9 for the Gunners to win this game.
One
Go on,
thing
Derek.
I forgot that is that last season, Arsenal went there in the League Cup, by the way, and won 4-0 in the League Cup, and that's a competition they definitely don't treat seriously.
And he's never been knocked out in the third round of the FA Cup either, Arsene Wenger. The last time Arsenal failed to progress in this competition was when they lost to Sheffield United. That was back in the mid-90s. So Arsenal 4-9 for Derek. Andy, your team going to Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, I'll just drop one stat in that I've been holding on to for the big teams here. The big six, as it were, that's Arsenal, Tottenham, Chelsea, Man City, Man United and Liverpool, won 28 out of the last 31 FA Cups. So if you're looking for the winner of the FA Cup, don't look beyond those six because the magic of the FA Cup doesn't exist. The big teams are just way better than anybody else and one of them will win it. And Arsenal will get through here. Forest have won 1 in 8 at home. But if you're having a bet, Arsenal to win and both teams to score, because Arsenal got all sorts of injuries at the back, and as Derek said last night, some of the defending was just ridiculous. I mean, Rob Holding, to be fair to him, is probably a Championship defender. Mustafi's about as quick as me, and Chambers, he has good games and he has bad games. Last night he had a terrible game. So, you know, I think Mertesacker will come in for this game, but they're still likely to concede, but they'll probably win about 4-1.
Yeah, Arsenal and both teams to score could be maybe worth a look at 2-1, and Arsenal to win the game and over 2.5 goals will be popular, I think, in this one. And that's a shade of odds on, but not far from even money. 17-20, Arsenal to win and over 2.5 goals in the game. We talked about the FA Cup outright earlier on, Andy, with Paul McCarthy, who was the FWA guest this week. Do you want to throw your hat into the ring? Who do you think will win the competition this season?
Well, like I say, you're really trying to pick which one of the big teams are going to play their strongest team most of the time or who's got the strongest reserves. You'd be mad to look beyond City again. Why would you look anywhere else? They're so much better than anywhere else at the moment. Why wouldn't you go with them?
7-2 Manchester City to win the FA Cup. Brighton versus Crystal Palace is the game we finish with this week. This is a 7:45 kickoff on Monday. Brighton 8-5 to win it. The draw 2-1 with Crystal Palace 17-10. The enhanced odds, Toma Hemed to score and Brighton to win, was 16-5, that is now 7-2. And Bakary Sakho to score and Palace to win was 9-2, that's been enhanced to 5-1. Only a point separates these two sides in the league, Andy, but Palace at the moment look solid. Brighton look less solid, shall we say. I found this one a difficult game to assess, Andy.
Yeah, and we talked about this a few weeks back when they met in the league, this rivalry and where it comes from and various myths you hear. But it is a rivalry game. But it's really, Palace are probably on a slight up curve at the moment and Brighton are probably on a slight downward trend. Having said that, this draws are featuring in their fixture in their last few games as well. Brighton have drawn 6 of the last 8 at home and Palace have drawn 3 of the last 4 away. And you think it would be a close game. So, doesn't really turn me on this game, to be honest, but probably a draw.
The draw 2-1. Derek?
Well, it is the biggest price of the three. And, a likely outcome, the match a few weeks ago finished 0-0. And we did talk about the rivalry between those two teams. And we were a bit mystified of where it began. It actually began, as we said, that match in the 70s when Mullery and Teddy Venables was respected. It was an FA Cup tie that went to 3 matches and that's where it all began. This is an FA Cup tie again. This is where 2 managers, you've got no idea what kind of teams they're going to line up with. I thought Brighton were excellent last week against Bournemouth. They surprised me how good they were. If there is going to be a manager who's going to take the FA Cup a little bit more seriously, in my eyes, it's Chris Hughton. Brighton have gone past the third round 7 times in the last 8 seasons. That's not a bad record when you're Brighton, is it? I still can't have Palace because of the manager. They've got some great players going forward, but something not quite right about that team. I can't put my finger on what it is. But they're too short, Brighton are 8-5. I don't see Palace winning it, but I'll go for the draw 2-1. No reason not to.
Okay, chaps. New year, new quality on the podcast naps. That's what we're asking for.
Oh, my God.
Derek, have you got a standout in the FA Cup?
Well, I like Shrewsbury. Mm. I don't think you've ducked down enough, as I said before. I picked out a bet before and thought, that's too big, that. And I've lost it. I can't find it. Go to Andy a minute while I find it.
Okay, Andy, you kick us off this week.
Derek searches for himself. Good luck. He might be a while.
Yeah.
Right, Doncaster Rovers 5-4 at home to Rochdale. They're above them in the league. They're at home. They're a better side. They should win.
Just gone 21-20. I can only give you that price, unfortunately. Oh, Andy, I do apologise.
Tell I've been off for a couple of days.
Doncaster at 21-20. I'll give mine first, then, while Derek continues to look. I'm going to go with Leicester to win and over 2.5 goals, which is at 13-10 in a game we talked about against Fleetwood. Leicester have scored at least 3 in 4 of their last 5 matches against lower league opposition. They beat Sheffield United and Leeds United in the Carabao Cup 4-1 and 3-1 this season. So I think they'll get a couple at least, probably a few against Fleetwood Town. So Leicester to win and over 2.5 goals at 13-10 is my nap. Mr. McGovern.
Yes, I found it. I had already picked it, honestly. It's Wigan, 16-5 to win at Bournemouth. Might surprise you, that one. But Bournemouth lost 3-0 against Millwall at this stage last season. First Premier League team to lose an away FA Cup match by 3 goals to a side from the third tier or below. Right. That's how much contempt Eddie Howe had for the FA Cup last season. And they were in a far better position last season than they are this. He will play a shadow side against Wigan. Wigan are doing great. Right now, and you could say, yeah, they need to get automatic promotion, but come on, this is a big day for them. Mm-hmm. They won the FA Cup not so long ago. They gave their fans the best day in history. I think it's all set up for a Wigan win. This 16-5, I'm on it.
Very good. Thank you, chaps. That nap treble, by the way. Doncaster at 21-20, Leicester to win and over 2.5 goals at 13-10, and Wigan at 16-5. We are going to start the new year with a bang. It's a win treble at 18.8-1.
Hi, I'm Pete Farries, and after a couple of bad weeks on the Championship part of this podcast, I'm delighted to refresh the palate this time with some FA Cup action. There's some really good looking bets, I think, this weekend. Middlesbrough at home against Sunderland looks interesting. Ipswich at home against Sheffield United could be a play, and I especially like Blackburn to take part Hull when Hull travel to Ewood Park as well. Big price Blackburn Rovers too. But ultimately, I'm going to stick with a Championship team that I think are going to get the job done, and that's Aston Villa. They're 6-10 at time of recording, taking on Peterborough. Villa, of course, phenomenal against Bristol City only a couple of days ago. On New Year's Day, they hit 5 past Lee Johnson's men and looked incredibly dangerous. Peterborough aren't bad away from home, really. They've won 2 of the last 3. They lost at the MK Dons last time out, but they hit 3 at both Fleetwood and Bradford, taking 6 points from those 2 games. And they're a decent side, as always, Peterborough. But Villa, in good form, high in confidence, I think 6-10 is a good price. But with the way they're scoring goals, I'm going to take Villa and over 2.5 match goals at 13-10. That, my friends, is the nap of the week from the Championship teams in the FA Cup. Let's hear from Gav Puchalowski. Only 4 games to choose from in League One this weekend because of round 3 of the FA Cup, but there is one outstanding price that leaps out at me in this one, and it is Plymouth Argyle at home to Bury. Plymouth are 5-4, and that is absolutely bang on for me. Plymouth, a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago, were mixing it with the likes of Bury and Rochdale down towards the bottom of the table, but Plymouth have found form, settled into life in League One, and are climbing the table, and currently they are 14 points clear of Bury, who sit bottom. Bury have lost their last 5 games straight, home and away, including away at Scunthorpe, as we forecast last weekend. And this is more than Plymouth in 16th against Bury in 24th. On the current form guide, Plymouth, well, they're second in the current form guide. There's only Wigan on goal scored who have been better in the last 6 games than Plymouth Argyle. And Bury, well, they are third bottom. From the last 18 points, Bury have taken 3. From the last 18 points, Plymouth have taken 14. On that basis, it has to be Plymouth all the way. My nap at 5-4 to win at home to Bury. Looking at League Two is Al Ross.
There are plenty of teams in FA Cup action, but I'm focusing on one of 4 league fixtures that are undisrupted, and a simple Accrington at 7-10 to beat Chesterfield. Now, Accrington have struggled to get much from tricky assignments recently. Defeats away at Exeter, Lincoln and Carlisle, nothing to be ashamed of, but it has cast their form line in a poor light. Some excellent home form, though, alongside a big away bounce with that 3-0 win at Grimsby, added to which they were a goal up against Morecambe on New Year's Day when rain suspended play at half-time. Match abandoned there, which may not be quite as morale boosting as 3 points would have been, but it's also 45 minutes less football than most teams are playing in what is a congested festive period. Chesterfield, the opponents, not to put too fine a point on it, are struggling. 1 point off the bottom, just 1 point from their last 5 games, 4 straight defeats away from home, 6 defeats, 2 draws in the last 8 away. Plus, Stanley have also won all 3 of their last meetings, 9-1 on aggregate, and Accrington 7-10 on the outright is big enough. If you're looking at the cup, keep an eye on Exeter. The price on a cup shock against West Brom may look poor, but last year's draw with Liverpool has given them a reputation, and West Brom, who are still winless under Pardew, are bitterly angry about the fixture congestion. They might just put out some reserves for that one. Exeter 19-5, not the nap though. That is Accrington, and that is 7-10.
That's all then, folks. Thank you for your company on this edition of the Punt Podcast. We will be back early next week with the midweek edition focusing on the Carabao Cup semi-finals. Check out all the betting on the William Hill website or on the app. If you are on that website, go to sports.williamhill.com and keep your eyes peeled for the latest football offers here at William Hill as well. If you want this podcast delivered weekly, go to iTunes and subscribe, or you can get us at audioboom.com just by typing in The Punt. Thank you again, everyone that's tuned in, and we will be back early next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.